Welcome to the Dirt Show, brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. And today we got one heck of a lineup for you on the Dirt Show. I will be joined by modified racing legend Ron Jones. We'll also hear from Doug Miner from Miner Outdoor, Carl Fredrickson from Speedway Illustrated Magazine, and our old friend Speed the Sauce Man from Cookies Barbecue Sauces and Seasonings, right after a few words from our sponsors.
Does good food get your heart racing? How about food that's prepared to perfection with your favorite sauces and seasonings? Friends, it's Speed the Sauce Man, and I'm here to tell you that if you love Full Throttle flavor, you're going to love our line of premium barbecue sauces and seasonings. Made with high-quality ingredients, you can trust our products to punch up the flavor of your favorite meats, main dishes, and so much more. Get winning recipes and join our sauce squad at cookiesbbq.com. And remember, smart cookies use cookies.
Are you ready for some earth-shaking horsepower? Then make plans to attend the 2025 Featherlite Fall Jamboree at Deer Creek Speedway. The action starts Thursday night, September 25th, and continues through Saturday night, September 27th. The event features USMTS Modifieds, USRA BMods, and USRA Hobby Stocks. Get your camper and tailgating supplies together and get ready for a three-day weekend of fun, food, and some incredible racing action. See DeerCreekSpeedway.com for more details.
When it comes to choosing your next industrial, commercial, residential, and ag electrician, choose Coles Electric. Hi, this is Steve Cole. Coles Electric offers pole setting, directional boring, underground trenching, boom truck service. We also update your lighting to new energy-efficient LEDs for years of reliability and service. Planning, design, or 24-hour service, see ColesElectric.com or call 507-451-1387.
Summer heat wears down more than just you. It drains your battery, too. High temps speed up evaporation inside your battery, cutting its life short. Right now at Napa Auto Parts, get up to $25 back on a prepaid card with a qualifying Napa battery purchase. That's $20 back on a Napa Legend or Legend Premium AGM and $25 back on a AAA battery. Save today. Drive worry-free tomorrow. Only at Napa Auto Parts. Offer valid at participating stores through August 31st, 2025. Restrictions may apply. See store for details.
Napa know-how!
Since 1997, Weir's Machine has been innovating the finest products in the racing industry. We also manufacture the Ultra Force Load Machines and develop the Ultra Force Suspension Software, which allows you to take your program to the next level. Be sure to check out the all-new Circle Track app, your ultimate go-to spot for race team information. Keep track of your maintenance schedule, parts list, car setups, and more. Proudly made in the USA, champions across the country choose Weir's Machine, Ultra Force, and the Circle Track app to take them to victory lane. Shop now at Weir'sMachine.com, UltraForceTech.com, and the all-new CircleTrackApp.com. Follow us on all of our social media platforms at Weir's Machine.
If you're in need of a worry-free power lift door, then you'll want to stop and talk with Rod French. Make a statement with a Powerlift architectural door on your home or cabin. Powerlift doors can be retrofitted to fit an existing door opening or designed into your next commercial, agricultural, livestock, or aircraft hangar build. Stylish, functional, and built to last. Powerlift doors by French's Manufacturing are made locally in Dodge Center, Minnesota by their experienced craftsmen. Contact Kelly or Rod. Powerlift doors by French's Manufacturing. 374-9306.
This is Justin Melke from Melke Oil Company, this region's premier BP race fuel dealer, and you're listening to the driver segment on The Dirt Show.
Welcome back here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by modified racing legend Ron Jones. And Ron, let's start off talking about your father, Ron Sr., who also raced. What are your memories of your dad's racing career, and how long did he race?
I don't exactly know how many years. It was back in the coupe days. And then, like I said, I don't know how long he raced. And then he teamed up with a guy, Don Hellstrom. My dad had number 7 and Don had number 3. Well, they kind of teamed up, and that was back in the 57 Chevy days. And they hired Jack Harder, and Jack Harder drove for my dad and Don for quite a few years. And my brother had built the car, and Skip Splitstozer drove for my brother for a while. And then I think my brother moved to Florida or whatever, and I started going out. I was playing baseball at the time, but I started going to the races with my dad. He got another car again, and Skip drove for my dad. And then I just got more involved in it, and then I guess I took over.
Well, Jack Carter was a pretty good hired driver for your racer.
Yeah, he was. He won a lot of races.
Ron, you got your start in the late 70s in the hobby stock division at North Star Speedway. A lot of people forget about that track, but what a great place to race if you don't mind getting winged by a rock every once in a while.
Yep. Yeah, it was pretty good. I think at that time my dad had been running North Star, and I think Skip was driving for him. And then I just started hot lapping the car, and then one day Skip said he quit. I kind of got pushed into it, I guess.
What are your memories of those first few hobby stock races?
It was different. You know, I think one of the first racetracks I ran one time at was Stillwater, I think. And then I think that shut down right after that. But it wasn't too long. Yeah, I think it was like my second year there. I won a few at North Star there. That would have been 78, 79 probably. 78, I only ran a few times, but 79, I think I ran at North Star. And then got more involved, and actually, I don't know if I bought the car for my dad or whatever, and kind of went on my own.
One of the divisions so many people forget about but was incredible were the wing modifieds at Cedar Lake Speedway. Wow, could those cars put on a show in the mid-80s?
Yep, it was fun running there. You know, it was a little more expensive because you needed a better motor, and the tires were the same tires the late models ran. So we would just swap motors. We tried running the Claimer motors there, and we'd just break them because of the wing, you know. But it was a blast running that.
What I've heard from a few drivers is with that wing gluing that car down to the track, man, you could just stand on the throttle.
Right. You could run right through the black. It was fun. You know, and then you'd take the wing off and change motors and go to a Wasota race the next day, and then you think you still got the wing on and you drive it in way too hard.
That was a tough learning curve.
Yep.
At one time or another, and I don't know how many drivers in their career ever did this, but you actually raced every single division that Wasota offered.
Yeah, not all in the same night, but a lot, you know. I'm sure Sobraski's, you know, he's run them all, and I'm pretty sure of that, but... But I have ran in one night three different classes, but it's a handful.
Off the air when we were talking the other day, something that I just found out, your sister owned that very cool restaurant along the highway in Princeton with the sprint car on the pole. We loved stopping there because we knew somehow the money we spent there would trickle down into racing, and it was just a great place to hang out.
Yeah, it was good. You know, the bar business is tough. She thought she was going to get a lot of support from town, but I think it was more out-of-town support than any. And got tired of, you know, the help, and so she got rid of it.
And the race memorabilia that was in there when you would walk around, I'd spend more time looking at the wall, and then all of a sudden our food was there. So that was really nice.
Yep, and with me traveling around, I got to know a lot of the late model guys and got a lot of doors from them. You know, back before people started collecting it, like right now, it's pretty big. People are really into it. And then, of course, a lot of the locals, because there's a track in town there, a lot of the locals have put their stuff in there.
The red, white, and silver number 31 modified. What is the story behind that car?
When I went to the 31 car, it was actually John Stevenson used to run a sprint car, super, and then it was a sprint, I guess, for a guy named Jim Cashy out of the cities, and then they'd run Knoxville every week or whatever, and John had got hurt a few times, and he didn't dare run anymore, and I think the owner kind of sat around for a year or two and decided he wanted to get a car to race local, and he told me he was either going to call me or Rick Eggersdorf, and it just happened that he called me first, and I went racing with him.
That Titan modeling number 31 sprint car driven by John Stevenson, that was a dominant car. So you were getting some quality equipment when you stepped into this 31.
Yeah, he had actually asked me what it would cost to get into it. And I told him, and man, we went way over it because we bought 10 motors right off the bat. Of course, motors were like $800 back then, but we ordered 10 at one time.
And $800 back then was something for a good quality motor.
Yeah, fairly decent. You know, they were just claim motors because, of course, I got claimed many times and you didn't want to have something too good.
You never did any tricks not to get claim, like guys I've heard that had holes in the floorboard where they could squirt a little oil on the exhaust so it looked like it went up in smoke when you crossed the checkered flag.
One time we had some oil hooked into the oil pressure line, and I opened the valve up one time on the white flag lap, and apparently I opened it too much because when I come around, I couldn't even see. But it's just, you know, every time I got claimed, it seemed like I got a better motor in trade anyway. So, but it's just a hassle taking it out after the races.
The amount of time you guys spent swapping motors back and forth during the claim days, it was amazing.
It was terrible. It just, you know, and then people always say, oh, you should get claimed. And I said, you ought to get claimed once. It's not the greatest feeling.
You wanted to make a race in Owatonna and get back in time for the Punky Manor race and ended up on one heck of a plane ride out of the Owatonna airport.
Yeah, it was actually John Stevenson. He built the homemade airplane and he flew me back to Menominee that night. And we got back there in time and I won the Punky Manor.
And you actually said it was an unusually fast plane because somebody else tried to do the same thing and they didn't make the feature.
Yeah, it was Mike Kelly Jr. They had a much bigger airplane because I think they had like 8 people in it or something. But we did get out of the airport before they did because I think I broke at Owatonna and Mike ended up winning the race. So they were a little behind us, but he didn't make it back in time. And we did, or I did, I should say. I had another crew guy over there with my other car.
Owatonna. What was it about Owatonna that made that such a great place to watch modified racing and run a modified?
I just like the big, fast half-mile tracks, I guess, you know. It seemed like them were my best. I ran better, you know. I think I would have to say I had a record at Owatonna that was probably 70-80% that I won there. And, of course, you know, they didn't run weekly, so the grandstand was always full, you know.
Oh, there were huge crowds. And also, one time I vividly remember is the cars went out to hot lap and guys were snapping axles because they were getting so much bite. The track was so tacky.
Yeah, it could have been. Not real sure on that. But like I say, I always liked racing there. It wasn't far from home. And when I was traveling, that was probably the closest I got to home.
There was also a race at the Rice County Fairgrounds back when it was the big half mile, and they actually had to block you from leaving one day. What is that story about?
Faribault. Oh, I think what happened is I think Mike Sorensen was leading the heat, and I was, you know, if you've been there, it's just a dust bowl and hard to see and hard to pass. And I think I got underneath Sorensen, and I don't know if we rubbed or whatever, but I think one of his friends was flagging, and they black flagged me. So I was going to leave, and then they told me that the gate was locked, and I said, well, open it up, and they said they couldn't find the key for the lock. So I just pulled out on the track there and parked by the gate, and they found the key real fast.
In 1989, you were the first Wasota driver in history to win a championship 3 years in a row, adding 33 feature wins and winning the Wasota Race of Champions. Now that is dominance.
Yeah, but I don't think that was my best year, though. That was 89. That was the third year, right?
That was the third year, yes. Yeah, you had better years.
Yeah, I think in 87, I had 47 feature wins. But I don't know, I don't believe they weren't all Wasota, though. I think some of them were IMCA.
How far did you travel out of the area to race?
Well, I've been to California, Arizona, everything out west, Florida, Tennessee, Illinois, of course, Missouri, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Texas. I think probably 30-some states.
Favorite state you raced in other than Minnesota, and why?
I don't know. I liked Arizona because it was, we were done here. I went out there to have fun and the weather, you know. But, I mean, I don't know. I guess I don't really have a favorite state.
Yeah, I guess I would say the same thing when this race season's over and we're up here freezing our tails off. Going to Arizona doesn't seem like too bad a deal.
No, not at all. And I ran good out there. I won a lot of races out there, so it was fun.
Yeah, when you're winning, it's a blast.
Yep.
And you kept that streak going, winning 5 Wissota National Championships in 6 years and another 28 feature wins in 1992 along the way. You went to the track literally every night expecting to win.
You had to. You know, if you didn't think you could win, you weren't going to.
And that is something right there that I have noticed throughout the years. If you go with a winning attitude, or you see a driver that's been struggling and they finally get that first checkered flag and know what it feels like and know how the car should feel, then they're on a roll.
After you get that first one in, of course, some win streaks aren't near as long as the bad streaks. You know, when you have bad luck, it just, if you get on the ride and you're winning a lot, it's sure a lot of fun.
It seems like those bad streaks when you're either getting your motor claimed, you're blowing something up, you're busting parts, you're getting a flat tire, it just seems to compound.
Right, and it seems like it takes forever to get out of that rut, you know.
You attended the Steve Yagi reunion, and you really had a great time. Mark Noble said if he could strap into a race car one more time, he would love to race you one more time at Owatonna.
Yeah, I'd do that. I mean, I would have did that, you know, especially Owatonna, because he was fast there, but I don't know what the stats are there, but I definitely won a lot more there than he did. He might not say that, but I know I did. I think my record there is probably one of the best tracks I've been at, where I've won. For times I've been there, winning percentage, that was probably one of the top tracks.
Did you ever get a chance to race the Cannon River Speedway in Morristown in your career?
Yep. I did one time. I was actually running real good there, and I broke a motor or something. And then I think Mark Witaski let me use his car to run the feature or something. But it was like jumping in a car where a midget ran, and my legs were so long. I was so cramped in there. I had a hard time. You know, it was great that he let me do it, you know.
I know Mark, and yes, he's not a tall guy, and
no,
I'm 6'6", so I know crawling in a car that he's been in probably isn't comfortable for you.
No, I think his pedals were so far up, I think I could have, my feet were stretched out a foot past the pedals, so I had to pull them up to get onto the pedals. That was a long time ago. That had to have been in 1980 or 81. Yes, in 81, maybe.
Yeah, because
we ran the hobby stock then.
Yeah, because it closed in the early 80s after that grandstand collapse.
Right. Yeah, I was only there once.
What is the story behind the Red 7?
That's just what my dad had all the time. I just tried to keep it going. And when I drove for Cashy, he wanted his number, but then I went back to the 7.
Your home track of Princeton Speedway, many feature wins, many track championships. Favorite memories of running Princeton?
Oh, I don't know. I guess I don't really have any favorite memories. You know, I only ran there like 5 years. The years that I won that Wissota point deal are the years that I raced there full-time. Otherwise, I didn't run there full-time at all. Just hit and miss, come there, you know. But I don't know. It was close to home. It was a lot of, you know, it was a small track, but there was always two lanes there. I mean, you could win the B main and win the A main back then. Of course, you could almost anywhere, but you can't anymore.
No, to come from a B main and then advance all the way through the A main from the back is virtually impossible today.
Yeah, it is. It really is. But back then you could, you know, if you got spun out or whatever. I remember we ran a special at Cassin one night. It was like a 1500 to win, and I was in the B main, and Dave Stork, I won the B main, and Dave Stork ran second. And in the feature, we ran first and second in that, too. So I've never seen that before, where two guys came up, and I won both the A and the B and the A, and he finished second in the B and the A. You know, it ain't too often that two guys get up there, you know.
Lou Fegger's Racing. So many drivers relied on them for parts, race their cars, and have memories of racing against Lou or the boys.
Yep, Lou was a good guy. When I was in that 31 car, we started off with, actually before then, I guess, when I was with my brother, I ran Lou's house car. He gave me cars to run. And then some of the times when they ran the wing or whatever, I ran his car too.
How many years did you run late models, and what are your memories of that division?
I ran for a couple different guys off and on, but nothing real. I didn't really do very well, I guess. I did win a couple, but, I was more concentrating on my program, and then I would run, I drove for a few different people.
The story behind the yellow Food and Fuel number one you brought to Owatonna.
That was Bill Brower had it, and Bill and I were good friends, but I think the guy's name was Jerry from Food and Fuel. He was a tough guy. He didn't want me running my modified program and that. He just wanted me to run that, and that's kind of why it didn't work. We had I won a feature in Marshfield with it, and then I think it was, what did they call that race at Cass? And not the Gopher 50, but they ran a special there.
Thunderbird there, Open.
There you go. I led that race one time, almost the whole race, and then we had a restart, and Leon Plank got underneath me and kind of rooted me out. And then the owner come down and was pissed off or whatever, but that was kind of the end of that. It was a short-lived deal.
Throughout your career, your equipment was always top-notch and looked like winning equipment. That takes an incredible amount of effort away from the track.
Yeah, it does. We tried to keep the car looking good. And I had good car owners. If you're going to run with the best equipment, you got to have it. If you don't, Neil Bonnet once told me, he said, never run the class you can't afford the best equipment in.
Favorite track of all time and why?
I don't know. There's a lot of them I like, but I mean, Owatonna, because I won there a lot, it's got to be at the top. Batesville's nice. There's quite a few. Saline, Oklahoma is pretty nice, but there's quite a few nice ones. But not, like I say, I think Owatonna would have to be one of my favorites because I won there quite often. I like the big tracks.
Favorite win of all time and why?
I guess I'd have to say that Chubb Daniels Memorial, because I was done racing for him and then he passed away and their kids built me a car to run. It was a $10,000 a win deal, and I ended up winning it. So it was pretty good because their family, there was a lot of people there for that benefit, that deal there.
You had some long-term sponsors along the way, and sponsors eventually become friends for life. Are you still seeing some of those guys now?
Yeah, Dean Daly from Blaine Brothers. He's been with me since I started racing, sponsor me, and actually must have been 4 weeks ago for the Dirt Late Model Dream. Him and I went down for that. And then Saturday night at the USA Nationals, he couldn't make it, but his boy was there. So yeah, I keep in contact with almost all of them that I've had, for a long time.
And somebody else, joins us on the Dirt Show today, Carl Fredrickson from Speedway Illustrated.
Oh, cool. He's a great guy. I met him through Dick, actually, when Dick did the article in Stock Car Racing magazine.
And you've been in there a couple times.
The first one was for me out in Arizona, and then they did one on my car, so that was two. Then they did one on my motor builder that built me a motor, and Dick got sponsors to donate all kinds of parts to build me a motor. So that was three. And then I think I was kind of in a little bit with they compared the two tracks in Texas that were racing against each other, and I was at one of them. And then they did a real small little clip in there of my sister's bar. That was in one of them. And now this last issue of Speedway Illustrated, I did an article. They did an article on me there just recently, the one that just come out.
Yeah, there's a great article in the August edition.
Yeah, I haven't got it yet. He's sending me some. I don't subscribe to any magazines or papers or anything anymore.
You're too busy out slaying walleyes.
Yeah, I was up there this last week, but it wasn't the best. But a few weeks prior to that, it was good, but I just don't go to races anymore. You know, as a spectator, the racing isn't near as good as it used to be.
Yeah, I've definitely heard that from guys once they quit, to sit there in the crowd and think, man, I would have went for it in that corner. I wish I could be out there again, and here you go again.
Yeah, no, I just, but, you know, I always said when the fun quits, it's time to quit. And I think the money has ruined the sport. It's way too expensive.
Well, Ron, I know you are still having fun getting out to the Dream at Eldora, up there catching walleyes and tearing down motors for your buddy who builds racing engines, and a lot going on in your life yet that still involve racing. And I appreciate all the great stories, and thank you so much for sharing them and being with us here on the Dirt Show today.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Working at my job, going all day long. Don't want to go and mow my lawn. Picking up the phone book, and what do I see? I see Wolf and Sons can do it for me. Dandelions, I don't want to spray. Free estimates are coming your way. Don't hesitate and learn about more. Call 455-3524.
And if you have some really big outside jobs, Wolf and Sons has the dump trucks, loaders, and graders you need to haul in driveway gravel, black dirt, and clear building sites.
Aero Race Wheels is a leading manufacturer of high-quality steel racing wheels for both dirt and asphalt racing. Aero Racing Wheels are built right here in North Iowa. This U.S. company's premium race wheels have been designed to put drivers on the top of the podiums for over 25 years. If you want to run with the winners, see AeroRaceWheels.com or call 888-895-2376 today.
Foamcraft Packaging is a small family-owned company and has been in business since 1988. Hi, I'm Donna Ayers, and I own Foamcraft along with my husband, Bob. We specialize in quality, affordable custom foam and wood packaging. Let our professional staff of designers, engineers, and manufacturers create a packaging solution that fits your needs and budget. Located at 400 Alexander Drive in Owatonna, Minnesota. Give us a call at 507-455-2893. Look us up at foamcraftpackaging.com.
Midwest Collision.
Dedication to excellence. That's what sets Midwest Collision of Faribault apart from other collision repair shops. Bob and his staff at Midwest Collision will spend as much time as it takes on your vehicle to guarantee it leaves the shop looking and operating as good as new. Contact Midwest Collision today at 507-332-2434.
Midwest Collision.
As you enter the parking lot of Fairmont Raceway, 60 years of racing history awaits. Since 1965, the legends of the USMTS have modified touring series. Sprint cars and late models have thrilled race fans with their speed and driving skills on this region's fastest half mile. Become part of racing history every Friday night this summer at Fairmont Raceway with a restaurant-quality concession stand, and there's not a bad seat in the house in their spacious grandstand. See FMTRaceway.com for more information.
Here's one of the most incredible lubricating products ever made, Justice Brothers JB80. It's twice as good at lubricating just about everything around the home, shop, and your car. JB80 has a penetrating action that goes straight to the problem areas and even the tightest places. Try JB80, the incredible spray lubricant that's twice as good, and it's guaranteed to satisfy or your money back.
See our display at Runnings.
Tell them Ed Justice Jr. sent you.
Welcome back to the sponsor segment here on The Dirt Show, and always we're at the Steele County Fair across from the cattle barns with Doug Miner from Miner's Outdoor. And how many years have you been here at the Steele County Fair in this spot, or is it too long to even remember?
Well, I'll tell you, the older I get, the more my memory fades, but we're going on 25 years now in the same location at the Steele County Fair.
Wow, that's an incredible record. 25 years at the fair, and you've met a lot of cool people over the years.
Well, that's probably the best part about it. The most enjoyment I get going there is, you know, of course, I like selling my equipment and keeping the business going, but just meeting old friends, talking to people that have our equipment, it's a true joy.
Doug, with all of the recent storm damage around the area, let's start off talking about chainsaws. When a customer comes in, how do you determine what they need as far as bar size, what usage they're going to use it for? How do you determine that?
Yeah, most of that is experience, but a lot of it you're going to ask, you know, one or two questions out of the gate. You know, a lot of the people coming in are previous customers, but if it's somebody new, you know, we really just ask them a few crucial questions like, are you burning wood? Is this a one-time deal? You know, we try to figure out, you know, if they want a new saw, we get them in the right one. You know, if they have a saw, did they buy the right one? And what are we going to do with it? So there's just a few questions we ask that helps us guide us into the right direction that gives them customers that assurity that they're going to be able to go home and get the job done once they leave.
And also now with Husqvarna, you have the option for gas or gas and battery.
Yeah, so the two choices now with the lithium ion options out there, you know, we have a full line of battery powered chainsaws, trimmers, blowers, all that stuff. But we still have the standby gas. And that's really one of the questions we go to now. Are you a gas customer or are you a battery customer? And some are both. Some are one or the other. It just opens up that window. That batteried stuff is helping, you know, the older generation stay active, you know, and those that really don't need a chainsaw a lot sits on the shelf most of the time, but they use the batteries in a trimmer or a blower. Now they can pop it in their chainsaw when they need it and use it. So it's some great opportunities out there to keep people active and keeping their properties clean.
That's nice. Once you go to battery products, it's universal. You can pop that battery in anything Husqvarna you buy.
That's a true statement. That's what's nice about it. Their batteries from day one fit in the product now. Now, we've gotten some bigger batteries that don't fit in a certain chassis, but for the most part, 95% of the batteries are all interchangeable.
And especially for new chainsaw users, the Husqvarna safety gear is always a must.
Oh, absolutely. That's one question we ask everybody buying a chainsaw or buying equipment. Do you need any safety apparel? Chaps are priceless. Ear protection, eye protection. Them three are probably ultimately the most. If you're felling trees, you should really have headgear also.
Golf cars, spring, summer, and fall. They are always popular. These things now come available with LED lights, windshield wipers, disc brakes, adjustable steering. It is amazing.
Yeah, you can. Our golf carts are becoming small vehicles. And in fact, they have a name for them called LSV, or low-speed vehicles, due to the fact that they don't go 70 miles an hour down the interstate. But them low-speed vehicles are coming equipped just like your car.
Because of the volume that you do here at Miners Outdoors, you always get some sweet trades in throughout the season. What do you have available right now?
Yes, we have a great selection of used golf carts available. Our website's our best place to go to look to see what we have. And of course, just to drive to Blooming Prairie or come visit us at the fair here at Steele County. Yes, we'll have a great selection. And if we don't have something in stock that fits your needs, we can always customize and build one to whatever you're looking for.
And finally, outdoor power equipment, your tree trimmers, which I've seen a lot lately, weed trimmers and leaf blowers, you got them in stock ready for fall?
Oh, absolutely. Yep, I got a full line of leaf blowers, got a great selection of backpack and handhelds. I've got the chainsaws, the trimmers, whether it's battery powered or electric, we have a great selection on hand to help your fall clean up.
I know during fair time right now, you get up in the morning and there's all that dew and moisture on the grass. And my lawn has been growing like crazy this summer with all the heat and moisture. And as we're sitting here in your booth, it's full of some great options for your next riding lawnmower. What kind of deals do you have here at the Steele County Fair?
During the Steele County Fair, what we like to do is when we sell a whole good, if it sells for $23.99, that $23.99 is going to include the sales tax. So we like to include the sales tax on our price. And so that's the deal that we've done for, oh, probably 20 years now since we've been coming there, that this is the place to get the deal to include the sales tax on the price.
That's a great offer, especially if you're looking at one of the larger units.
That is correct, yep. And of course, some larger units have other deals that may be more lucrative than the sales tax deal. But and that's we'll do with explanations once we start picking out what unit is right for you.
stop by and see Doug at the Miners Outdoor booth here at the Steel County Fair, because I know he definitely does not want to bring this stuff back home. If they can't make it to the fair and they want to talk to you, what's the best way to do that, Doug?
You know, for me, I love people that come in and swing the door. So come visit us here right at Blooming Prairie. We're on the south edge of the town, east side of the road. If you want to take a quick look at inventory, of course, go to our website, minersoutdoor.com, or give us a phone call at 507-583-2712.
Doug, have a great time here at the Steel County Fair. And as always, thank you so much for being with me here on The Dirt Show today.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks, Clay. Appreciate it, and we'll enjoy our time here.
In 2009, the Outlaw Mini Mod Racing Series was organized by Batwing Chassis founder Nathan Kilwine. Today, you can find the Outlaw Mini Mod class running at tracks like Chateau Speedway, Mason City Motor Speedway, Stewart Speedway, and Worthington Speedway, plus other tracks around southern Minnesota, north Iowa, and Wisconsin. Join the fun by becoming a driver or follow their 18-race Black Iron MFG Outlaw Mini Mod Series Point Championship schedule as a fan. Batwing Chassis. Fast, affordable, fun. See batwingchassis.com.
As you stop the throttle to the floor, you want quick response and a burst of power. Hi, this is Corey from Byers Engine Service. Since 1975, our staff here at Byers Engine Service has been supplying hot rodders, drag racers, and circle track cars with the power and dependability they need at an affordable price. When you consider your next engine build, consider Byers. BESPerformance.com. No gimmicks, just horsepower.
Race fans, if you're headed to Knoxville Raceway this season for the sprint car races, make sure to visit the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. This year's special exhibit will be our track tribute to Manzanita Speedway and the rich history of the Western World Sprint Car Championship races. We'll be featuring 8 of the iconic race cars that raced at Manzanita, in addition to the 20-plus race cars being featured inside the museum this summer. And remember that on race days, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open from 8 a.m. until the final checkered flag falls here at Knoxville Raceway. So be sure to schedule some time to visit the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum and see the only museum in the world that is solely dedicated to sprint car racing, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
Hey, what are you doing?
Just watching Chevlin Enterprises picking up our trash.
That was a great decision to switch to Chevlin Enterprises.
Yes, it was. Great price, great service, locally owned and operated. And remember that spring garage cleanout?
Yeah, 2 full dumpsters, and they took care of it all.
I wish every decision was as easy as Chevlin Enterprises.
Amen to that.
Contact Chevlin Enterprises today at 507-214-8727.
Racers Cole and Kyron Anderson want to provide outstanding products for their customers at Anderson Enterprises. With their new 10-color screen printer, your t-shirts, sweatshirts, tank tops, and vests will stand out from the rest. Anderson Enterprises also provides embroidery on sweatshirts, jackets, beanies, baseball caps, blankets, and more. Mention this Dirt Show ad and receive 10% off your next order. Contact Anderson Enterprises in La Center at 507-351-9244 or AndersonEnterprises.net. Set yourself apart from the rest.
Bulldog Coatings. Let Bulldog protect and restore your floors. Transform your old garage floor with a local family-owned Bulldog Pros. Beautiful coatings, longevity, trust the experts. We make it so easy. Affordable solutions, you can't go wrong. See BulldogCoatingsMN.com. Bulldog Coatings. Let Bulldog protect and restore your floors.
Welcome back here on The Dirt Show, and it is my pleasure today to be joined by Carl Fredrickson from Speedway Illustrated. And Carl, I got to see you again very briefly at the Midwest Motorsports Expo, literally just a wave and hi. And that is such a great place to network with all those people under one roof. We never really got to talk again because we both got really busy.
It is. First of all, thanks for having me, Clay. And yeah, I love that visit. I love the area, the region. The racers are so smart. They're so well in tune with their cars and what racing is really about that it's a special part of the country. So I particularly look forward to going there. And you're right. Very rarely do you have opportunities to sit down with Joe Constance from Joe's Machine
or Chad Wears from Wears Machine and really pick their brain, or Randy Harrison from PEM and Dave Ely from Bulldog Rear Ends. These are the guys who have massive lines at other trade shows, PRI and SEMA, that you'd have to wait 45 minutes or a half hour to get a minute with. And here, they're holding the coffee and smiling, and it's a really terrific trade show. It's a hidden gem. If you haven't been and you're within 150 miles, I hope to see you there this winter.
During the off season last winter, I had the privilege of gleaning through a large amount of Stock Car and Speedway Illustrated magazines. I was thoroughly impressed with the amount of incredible stories you have covered over the years, and especially the stuff from our region.
Yeah, well, I'm motivated to it. Like I mentioned a moment ago, the racers are high quality, high caliber. I get to travel all over, and racing is great everywhere. There are certainly pros and cons, and it can be viewed either way. I mean, if you're starting out racing in the Minnesota, Wisconsin area, you've got your work cut out for you. It's going to be tough, but you're going to be a highly proficient racer who can probably run competitively anywhere in the country after that. On the other hand, I've been to some tracks in different regions of the country where the expertise level is markedly lower. And the upside to that is you don't have to be as good to run up front early on. So you can always see goods and bads to everything, but I really like the area you're in. It's a treat to travel there.
The other thing I discovered by going through those magazines is what an incredible life Carl Fredrickson has had. Not only did you have a great racing career, but you've had the opportunity to jump into some incredible cars because of your racing experience.
It's remarkable. When I applied for a job with Dick Bergeron back in 1992, he told me early on that he couldn't promise me full-time employment, couldn't promise me anything, but he would give me a desk and a computer and a phone that I could use. And as an in-house freelancer, anything that was published, I would get paid for. And it took over 18 months before I got a full-time job. So when I look back, there were some months I made $100, but I was determined to do this for a career. And the reason I mention this, Clayne, is because on the day Dick hired me, he said, "You won't get rich doing this. But if having experiences in motorsports motivates you, then you'll be richly rewarded." And he said that he had his toes underneath the nose cone of Mario Andretti's IndyCar when they gave the command to fire engines at the Indy 500, as an example. I remember it like he told me yesterday. And he was right. My wife and I have been able to raise a couple of good kids and live in the home we want. But that idea of getting experiences range from driving race cars from here to Seattle through the South, and you know, strange ones too. I got to get in the back seat of the number 7 jet and go for an hour-long flight with the Blue Angels, all because of auto racing. So there's a lot you get to do. You just got to raise your hand and say, "Yeah, I'm in. I'll try. I'll do it."
Hands on, that dust in your eyes, dirt in your hair experience really brings out the stories. That's what makes your publication so great. It's those local grassroots stories that people tell what it's really like for those drivers every week in and week out.
It's because we are them. It is us. I've spent decades pulling a chin strap tight, fixing wrecked race cars, celebrating with friends in Victory Lane, and buying safety equipment that I didn't necessarily want to upgrade or invest in, thought what I had was good enough, but had to know better and write the check myself. So it gives you a perspective that if you're going to write about racing, you have to understand what the racer endures. All of the highs and the lows, it's important to participate, and I think that gives great strength to our magazine.
Today's guest on A Dirt Show is someone who has been in your magazine a few times over the years, Ron Jones.
The pride of Princeton, huh? Yeah, he is a remarkable person. I am so fond of Ron Jones and the way he went racing. He looked and acted like a race driver. He caught the eye of Dick Bergeron, way back in the early 90s when they were doing that Canyon Winter Heat Series with sprint cars. And they brought in some modifieds to run when the sprint cars were prepping for either the heat or the feature. And so the TV crew was out there every week. And Ron traveled from Minnesota to go to Phoenix and race. And when the races were over, he introduced himself to the TV crews and told them that he was a good racer and that he'd be winning some races. Well, that got Berggren's eyebrows up, and Ron backed it up by winning races. And the next thing you know, both Dick and I are writing Ron Jones stories. And he's one of those guys that, as a journalist, you seek because he's not afraid to say precisely what's on his mind. And he's a competitive racer I could tell you Ron Jones stories until the cows actually fall asleep. But he's a great guy and a great racer.
Carl, you are literally everywhere. Plans on getting back here to any events in the Midwest before the end of our season, and our season comes to an end way too early.
Yeah, but you know what? I think an off season is good and healthy. Some of these tracks that are racing on Christmas week and that sort of thing, I can understand a New Year's special and that type of race, but they're running weekly throughout holidays and stuff. And boy, I think absence makes the heart grow fonder, that when you knuckle down and push yourself to finish off the season, and you know you're going to get 3 or 4 months to lick your wounds and be better for next season and spend some time with family, friends, it's a good, healthy thing. So I hope to as well, because whether it's been dirt or pavement in your area, I've always been impressed with the level and quality of racing that you have. Guys are truly fortunate, really blessed.
Carl, you'll definitely understand this question when I say the sponsors that I have, particularly for the Dirt Show, and that you have for Speedway Illustrated. You get to know these people. You get to know their products. Man, what a great group of people.
It is. It really is. And one of them we're mourning this week, and just writing my column about Chris Rashke, who worked for ARP since 1996. They're a fastener company. They make incredibly wonderful, brilliant head bolts, rod bolts. If it holds two pieces together, ARP probably makes the best there is for it. And Chris had a passion for the Bonneville Salt Flats, and sadly on Sunday, participating there took his life. And we'll go on racing, but I'll miss Chris. I'll miss his passion for America. I never saw him without an American flag pin just above the logo of the company he worked for. And I think that pretty much indicates the type of person he was and whose legacy will live on. It's not easy. It's challenging. We grieve for family, friends, but we know as part of motorsports that this is a liability to our activity. And it's up to every racer to take care of themselves as best they can, like Chris did, because it can still happen. But when your listeners are thinking about safety gear, they're not just buying it for themselves, they're buying it on behalf of their family. And that when you properly prepare yourself to go racing, the likelihood of emerging without serious injury is greatly enhanced. And frankly, I believe every racer owes it to his family to do that, to research the equipment themselves and make a decision based on what they believe. You've got my email. Share with everyone you want. If they ever have a question, you tell them I'm a friend of Clayne's. What do I do about this or that? And I'll answer personally. I'll get the answer they need.
Carl, love your publication. Your passion for the sport is relentless. And how can listeners find out how to become a subscriber of Speedway Illustrated magazine?
Well, the best way is all of our contact information is at SpeedwayIllustrated.com. We're also on Facebook, and I'm the one who answers those messages there. So you can just go to Speedway Illustrated. And any listener, any friend of Clayne's is a friend of mine. And if you're not sure, shoot me a note and give me a mailing address, and I'll mail you a sample issue free of charge with no obligation, no credit card up front or any of that. I'll just mail you an issue. And I'm convinced you'll like it and will subscribe. So that's my offer to your listeners.
Carl, thanks for all you do. Thanks for being with us here on The Dirt Show today.
My privilege, Clayton. Thanks. Look forward to seeing you soon.
When you need a trailer, you want selection, service, and someone who will be there after the sale. Zach's Sales and Service in Sherburn is this region's leader in quality trailers. From H&H, Aluma, Mission, and Easy Hauler. Whether you need a utility, enclosed, dump, flatbed, or tilt trailer, Zach's Sales and Service has over 300 trailers on the ground and ready for delivery today. Contact Zach's Sales and Service today at 507-764-2299 or see zachstrailersales.com, where service is right in their name.
Partnering with hog and cattle producers throughout the United States, Altenburg Construction has over 30 years of experience in the slat replacement business. Altenburg Construction uses a custom wash bay to ensure biosecurity for your herd. Whether you need an entire site or a single slat, stop into one of their three locations in Louisville, Minnesota, and Ziering in Washington, Iowa, and ask about their five-day guarantee. Or call 888-435-2210 or see altenburgconstruction.com.
Welcome back to our special segment here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by Speed the Sauce Man from Cookies Barbecue Sauces and Seasonings. And during the summer months, the Rib Wagon is all over the region cooking up some great barbecue for everybody out there. And if you've been to the Rib Wagon and said, those barbecue beans are incredible, Speed, how do you get those so good?
I'll tell you what, and it's so easy. We'll normally just use our favorite beans is Bush beans. They're original. And like to a number 10 can, which is like about a gallon size can, which is enough for about 20, 25 servings. We'll usually go through, when we're setting someplace with the Rib Wagon, we'll usually go through 30 or 40 cans of those beans. But to a number 10 can or that gallon size can, we put a tablespoon of our cookies flavor enhancer and all purpose seasoning, and then cup of our sweet hickory barbecue sauce, and then I'll either chop up a half an onion, or I'll just take some dehydrated onion and about 2 tablespoons of that, and then a half a cup of dark brown sugar, and mix that all together and put it in one of those throwaway pans. I like to double those throwaway pans, and you can get like the half size, and that the gallon will fit right in there. Cover it with foil and set it on your grill and just let it sit and simmer for a while till it tenderizes and everything, all the flavors blend together. And I'll tell you what, Clayton, you talk about a tasty treat. And then cool those beans down. And I'll tell you what, I just love, and my guys do too, just love to eat them cold. I mean, just take a bowl full of those beans cold and chow down.
And another great idea, if you want to make these into a meal, add some of your shredded pulled pork or even cook up some hot dogs and mix those in.
Well, yeah, that works pretty slick. The other thing I like to do is take some thick strips of bacon and put our seasoning on it and a little bit of brown sugar and do that on the grill and never turn it. Just do it on a low temp grill until it just gets cooked real done, and pull it off there and just crumble that up and throw that in with the beans along with some pulled pork. Or if you want to have a little hamburger cooked down, I mean, you talk about a meal in a bowl. You got it right there, Clayton.
And Speed, if somebody wants these easy-to-make recipes where you can do at the campground or the racetrack and feed a bunch of hungry people, what's the best way to find those, Speed?
The best way to find them, Clayton, is just go to our website, cookiesbbq.com, and then click on recipes. And there's all sorts of recipes on there. And so just click on that. And if you have trouble finding some of our sauces, you can also order our sauces right off that same webpage.
Speed, as always, thanks for being with us here on The Dirt Show today.
You betcha, Clayton. Have a good one, buddy.
BP Racing Fuels is proud to be recognized as a world leader in race fuel technology. BP's fuels have a well-deserved reputation for power and consistency, winning championships in every form of motorsports for more than 40 years. Whether sportsman or pro, methanol or gasoline, BP has a fuel to ensure optimum performance for your application. See the full line of VP's high-performance products online at vpracingfuels.com. At VP Racing Fuels, our passion is your performance.
Why choose powder coating over liquid paint finishes? Maximum durability. Extreme powder coating offers a scientific process that uses electricity and heat to bake the colorful finish deep into your product. Extreme can deliver media blasting, impact-resistant epoxy primers, and durable powder coat applications to meet your needs. Custom colors and exhaust coatings are available also. Visit extremepowdercoating.net for more information. Extreme powder coating.
Kevco drive shafts are 100% American made in the USA with USA sourced materials, using precision machine yokes offering more clearance and higher strength than any shaft on the market. All drive shafts are meticulously hand built and balanced on our new Superior Driveline Shaftmaster machine. Kevco drive shafts has the ability to build carbon fiber drive shafts loaded with Spicer 1310 solid body non greasable U-joints for superior strength. Kevco also offers U-joints, U-bolts, slip yokes, and anything you need for your drive shaft. Call them today, 800-770-3557, or online at kevcoracing.com.
Hi, this is Harvey West, and you've been listening to The Dirt Show. See you at the races.